Monday, January 8th. Staff meeting this morning, we discussed the wage price announcement plans, which was decided would be Thursday or Friday of this week. And because there are a lot of pluses, Schultz feels there should be a short presidential statement on camera, that he should go out to the press room and make a statement and leave, then let Schultz do the detailed briefings. And we'll be sending a one-year extension request to the Hill for authority, announce the new director of the Cost of Living Council. George felt we needed a presidential decision on how to go on this now. I raised it with the president later in the day, and he felt very strongly that this was the kind of thing where he has to go on instinct, and his instinct on this is very strongly that he should not go out front on it. That's not a good thing for public exposure at this time, because it's not subject A, which is Vietnam, and it won't divert from Vietnam, and he'll get hit for not answering questions on the right thing. He did say he might do an audio tape instead, however. I had a phone conversation with Connolly, mainly just to check in with him. He said he was very concerned about the newspaper campaign regarding the brawl with Congress, not just on Vietnam, but on the overall thing. And he said, for example, on the Today Show this morning, Bob Byrd said he hadn't seen the president since last year. And he thinks that the whole attack overall is the most vicious thing he's ever seen, and it'll foreclose our options in a lot of areas. That the president should therefore call for Congress to reorganize themselves, put them on the defensive instead of the president. He went back to Byrd saying he thinks the reorganization thing is very bad, and that they might hold up appointments if we don't agree not to withhold funds. He thinks we should make the point that Congress shouldn't criticize the president. It should reorganize itself. This is a fertile field for counterattack regarding the fact that their structure is not sound. We should not be mean, but we should toss it back at them. The Congress has to assert its power. They keep saying the president should say sure, but they also should exercise its responsibilities. Its power without responsibility is destructive. He says he'll probably be up this week. And then he went through some specific people and appointment items, and said also he's having a problem on his Algerian contract, that Kearns and the Algerians are about to draw swords, and he may have to talk to Schultz or Kissinger on this. John Dean called a report on the Watergate trial, says that if we can prove in any way by hard evidence that our plane was bugged in 68, he thinks we could use that as a basis to say we're going to force Congress to go back and investigate 68 as well as 72 and thus turn them off. He says Hunt's going to take a guilty plea on three counts after Silbert's opening statement. He'll say that no higher-ups were involved. The rest of them will go to trial. Rothblatt, the attorney for the Cubans, is a wild man, and he wants to go to trial. Liddy wants to go to trial because he's hoping for an error and catching things up on a lot of procedures and all, and thinks that John thinks this is better because Liddy won't take the stand, and it'd be good to have him do it. McCord will testify, but he has no first-hand knowledge. All the Cubans will sit mute, and even if they're immunized afterwards, they'll take a contempt charge rather than talk. There's great concern that on their part that the commitments to them won't be honored, and there's a problem of funds that LaRue's supposed to be working on. John's going to assemble a congressional strategy group of himself, Wally Johnson, Moore, and Colson, because he thinks we may have some of our own cards to play, that we should start looking at the Hill guys' vulnerabilities and see if we can't turn off the Hill effort before it gets started, which he thinks is important to do. President got into a lot of trivia. He has covered his press concerns with Ziegler and is talking about the things he wants to do there. Got into the discussion of the battle with Congress and his feeling that the problem is the weakness of Timmons' personality and the failure of Kissinger and Ehrlichman to take the responsibility of handling this. He wants to avoid a whole series of cabinet swearing-ins if he can. It's a real problem of doing them individually, and question whether he has to be present for the swearing-in ceremonies with the families and all that. Maybe we could swear the whole cabinet in at once if they're all confirmed, which he doesn't feel would be so bad. He said to tell Ash not to let the attacks bother him. Went through the plans for the inaugural church service. Julie and the Connie Stewart thing. He feels it's a great mistake for Connie to stay, which Pat Nixon is apparently pushing now, so I've got to get on that. Some other personnel things. He doesn't want Ambassador Meeker to get another ambassadorial appointment. He's worried about what to do about Clem Stone, how to avoid hurting his feelings. Concerned about the FBI, and he had Ehrlichman in talking about that. Feels that Gray can't cut it and that we do need to change, that things are deteriorating there. The Ruckels House may not have the stature and mystique to handle it, but in any event, Gray's not able enough, lacks the energy. Thinks we have to find another post for him and that he could do Bond, so we should keep that open for him. He wants a thorough run on appointments, sub-cabinet and so on, later in the week, as soon as we're ready. Thinks we should offer Sweden to Gordon Allott fast, and also make Miller an ambassador somewhere like Jamaica to get him out of Washington. Ehrlichman says on the reorganization and congressional thing that Holifield's on the edge of supporting us, and Irwin can probably come along too. And back to personnel, the president thought we should go for the woman at the AEC and get Schlesinger to sell it to Holifield if we can. Got back on the press deal, feels that Kissinger has let the press be an influence on him, so he's now become a captive of our critics rather than controlling them. We've got to avoid getting emotional about press attacks. We must be detached but not isolated. We must not pay attention, whether they're for or against us, and when making great decisions, you can't be affected by press reaction. You do have to know what others are reading so that you know how to deal with it. On the Congress thing, he says at some point he's going to say that this Congress, by its irresponsibility, have prolonged the war, but he can't do that yet. At about the point he got into that, Bull brought in the cable report from Kissinger in a red folder, and the president read it through and then summed it up saying there's basically no progress, 4.5 hours of sparring, and that was about it. He then had Colonel Kennedy come in and said he should call Rogers and make the point that when he meets with the South Vietnamese, we need South Vietnam to go along with us if we're going to continue the support. Also, that we don't want the South Vietnamese to meet with the press. He got into general operations, especially for Ehrlichman, said that we shouldn't get so bogged down on the inaugural and our new offices and all that we miss the essential things, such as dealing with Congress, especially for Ehrlichman. Ehrlichman says he's going to do a regular domestic briefing of the press every 2 weeks or so to draw the poison off before the president's press conferences, etc. Also, he'll do specific subjects that the president doesn't want to do, and that we're running a school for key administration people on what our policy is, how to work with the White House, the OMB, the press, and so on. The president said we ought to consider a similar bipartisan school for Congress for our supporters. Ehrlichman argued the value of some overt evidence of presidential activity on non-Vietnam. The president said he's concerned on the economy because it's moving too well now and we may have a dip in 74 because of that. He told me to talk to Connolly to get him to tell us when he's going to move, that if he doesn't decide on a party thing, we're going to have a problem because we have to have another horse than Agnew. We got into the general political discussion then and the fact that we can't allow Agnew to get the nomination, but there's no other real possibility except Connolly. After Ehrlichman left, he made the point that Ehrlichman getting into this whole PR thing will be very effective, then raised the question whether Klein could still be useful, then made the point that if we could get him to divest himself of all operational responsibility and become solely a spokesman and handling contact, that he would be good and that we should keep him on. I think Pat Nixon or somebody gave him a pitch on Klein, and he's reacting to that. End of January 8th.